least I feel that God has asked me to share this morning. And so I think it really fits well, and I just hope that you'll see that. I think I saw that picture of all the ladies that were sitting in that hall having dinner at U of T. And is that ringing back a little bit? Is that better? Okay. It almost was a picture of heaven, wasn't it? Those ladies sitting around the table having a banquet with Jesus. In many ways, that's what that picture reminded me of. And so I was just encouraged by that. I wanted to show a picture of my family. And I'm sorry that they couldn't be here today with me. But I can remember when we first started here at Bridletown, Jensen was our middle child, was starting kindergarten. So now we have Caleb, who is in grade 12, and we're praying through what the next steps are for him for university. And then Jensen's in grade 10, and Chloe is 10 years old and is in grade 5. The color is not great there, but she's small for her age, but she's pretty mighty, like her mom. And so sometimes I think she's younger, but she's just full of vim and vigor, and she's a smart girl. And she actually is following in the footsteps of her brothers. She's today playing hockey. Apparently, she skates like her brother Jensen. She's been following in the footsteps of her brothers in that way. Nikki is working at Elam Lodge in the summertime, working in the dining hall. And just recently, she's helping do photography in the schools with Edge Imaging. And so that has been helpful for us as a family, as well as just for her to be part of the community. And so it's been good. So I am currently right now the executive director of Kawartha Youth for Christ, and I've been there for 6 years. And then prior to that, I was with Shelby at Toronto City Mission. And so in many ways, when I talk about Youth for Christ, I'm talking about Toronto City Mission because our philosophies are very similar as we reach out to young people and to young adults in some ways up to 24. I know Toronto City Mission works with adults as well, but in many ways we work with often the underprivileged community. So currently right now I'm responsible for, we work in 7 different communities, and we are adding on Bancroft in the new year, which will make that 8. We work with about 800 young people, and we have approximately 17, kind of grow to 20 staff in the summertime, with just over 100 volunteers. And last year, over the last 2 years, the ratio is about 1 in 8, so 1 for every 8 kids we work with, one of them has started some sort of faith journey with Jesus. And so we just thank God for that. YFC Canada continues to grow. You'd be encouraged that now we have over 700 staff across the country, reaching out to close to 180,000 young people in Canada. Around the world, Youth for Christ has never been larger. For some of you, you may think of the rally days, of the kind of the glory days of Youth for Christ, when Billy Graham was one of our first staff members. So we think of Youth for Christ in that way. But this generation of staff have grown to the point where now Youth for Christ is the largest non-governmental organization that works with youth in the world. And so I'm excited about that because it's an organization that not only meets the needs of young people but also shares with them Jesus and walks with them. Recently, YFC Canada, so Youth for Christ Canada, we are one chapter among 31 chapters in Canada, had asked us to host the national conference. And this past year, we hosted at Blue Mountain, and the theme was loving the church. And interesting, because when I went into mission I was all about helping the church be more missional. And it's ironic that now I was leading a conference about a mission, learning to love the church. Because we believe that is important as we are under the authority of the church as we reach out into our communities. And so that was an important for me as a leader to work with our staff and to really wrestle with what does it really mean to be part of the church, to work with the church, that we are not outside the church, we're actually working from within the church out into our communities. And so today I've been I want to share with you some thoughts. These thoughts are actually kind of unpolished. They still need to be refined. But they're based out of Ephesians, where Paul exhorts the Ephesus church on what it means to be a church. And also I'm taking from the prayer that Jesus had in the garden. And you'd be amazed the parallels between those two passages. If you ever get a chance to sit down and read Jesus' prayer in the garden before he goes to the cross, and compare that to what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesians. So I'm going to try not to get too tied up within the scriptures, because I could share a lot of them with you today. But I'm hoping that I'll provide you with some thoughts that you can take with you. And in many ways, that you would be encouraged today. It's been some time since we've been on staff, but I hear that you've had some changes in the church. One of the things I noticed is that there isn't any lamps that are hanging from the ceiling. In my mind, that's so much better now for kids to be able to kick balls around in here, because you're not going to be hitting the lamps. So I don't know if that's a reason why, Dennis, that you guys got rid of the lamps, that we could kick more balls in here. But I've always been encouraged by this church. Because that you guys do more, when I say you guys, when we as a body, we do more than actually we could ever do ourselves. Paul, and he writes Ephesians 3. He says, and I'm going to be kind of jumping from some passages here. So, and forgive me if I rush through this. I've been in Peterborough for 6 years, so my English is much faster than it has been in the past. So forgive me if I'm moving too fast, or if I'm going too slow, then you can say, yeah, we can understand. So Paul says, now to him who is able to do more, far more abundantly than all we asked or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. There's something about this church, there's something about this local body of believers, this congregation, that I feel that we do more than we can actually do ourselves, that we have to rely on God for that. So the first point I want to mention today, is that the church is immeasurable. I don't know how many people here have read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis. And this book was really about Uncle Screwtape, who was a seasoned demon, and he was mentoring his young demon. This isn't the TCM mentoring program. This is the demon that was mentoring his young nephew about how to lead a person into damnation. So there's a part in this letter that this young demon has failed. And his uncle says to him, so you've allowed your patient, that's what he called the person that this demon was influencing, and he was saying that you failed because he became a Christian. And then the uncle demon says, but you know what? Not all has failed. There's another way that we can get to this person. And he says, One of our greatest allies is the church. And like, whoa, what does that mean? He says, one of our greatest allies at the present time is the church itself. Do not understand me. I do not mean the church as we see her, spread out through all time and space and rooted in eternity, terrible as an army with banners. That, I confess, is a spectacle which makes our boldest tempters uneasy. But fortunately, it is quite invisible to these humans. All your patient sees is a half-finished sham, kind of the building. They see what they see. And sometimes, I think, when we measure church, we measure of what we see. We measure how many people are in the building. We measure how big our facility is. We measure how well the churches are working together. We measure how well we are doing financially. We measure how well our music is. I want to encourage you today that there's things that are measured that we cannot see. I remember I was talking with a pastor or a member of a church in one of the suburbs in Richmond Hill. And he was saying how their church was growing significantly. And he said, you know why? The reason why our church is growing is because when many new Canadians come to Canada, they end up connecting with a smaller church that receives them and loves them. And for many here who are new Canadians, you understand as you arrive, you want to get your feet on the ground, you want to get your life established, and when all those things come together, suddenly they start to go to church in the suburbs. But there's something that is happening in a place like Brattletown that we do not see, that we can't measure because it's happening somewhere else, but we've had the opportunity to be part of people's lives that are now growing in their relationship with Jesus in another congregation. And so the first thought I have is that the church is immeasurable. The second thing is that the church is at the center. There are many times, actually, when we may feel that the church is actually starting to be unchanged. One of the things that we've been quite influenced on is I use my GPS when I go somewhere, right? And so when you enter your GPS, you enter where you're going to go, right? Where does your GPS start? Your current location? That's you, right? Starts with you and where you're going to go. There's a lot of other cultures that we often will go, is starting from where we are, if we want to go.
church still is at the center of that map. So be encouraged today that God is still at work. The church, another thought is the church has purpose. In John 17:4, Jesus says, "I have glorified you," talking about God, "I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." So Jesus saying to God, "I have glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do." And as I read that, Ephesians 2:10 came alive for me. One of my favorite verses. You know what 2:10? It says here, it says, "So when God saved us, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." That God had a purpose and a plan for the church before time, and he has created us to have good works as he gave Jesus work to do. That we actually can glorify God in our work that God has prepared for us to do. So never lose sight that this church, that the greater church, has a purpose that God has planned for us to do. Recently, I was talking with one of my staff. Our staff, Jennifer Klusterman, she's our director in Peterborough. I shouldn't have taken this off. She was meeting with a young teenage girl, and this young girl said, I would believe in Jesus if I could just see him. If he could just come and just spend time with me, I would believe in him. And something had just occurred in Jennifer's mind at that very moment. And she's thinking, wait a second. We are the manifestation of Jesus. We are the hands and feet of Jesus, the church. Isn't that interesting how God has given us that job to be the physical representation of Jesus to those around us? And he has called us to do that. In Ephesians, it talks about how we are, as a church, we're being built up as a temple for God. Each one of us, in many ways, a building block that's being held together by the Spirit of God, that we may have the fullness of God in us and in the church, that we may able to incarnate, the word is, that we may be able to represent Jesus. And that makes me think as an evangelist, as a youth evangelist, what does that mean? And I think, you know, when we preach Jesus to others, we have to remember that the gospel includes the church. That if people just get saved and it's separate from the church, there's something that is completely missing in their life. In Ephesians, it talks about this idea that if we can truly experience the love of God when we are together. And what happens is, as we spend time, when we spend time with each other and spend ourselves on each other, there's something that's special that happens. When we're vulnerable with each other, when we love each other unconditionally, there's something that's special that happens,
that we begin to believe that God is real and that we can experience God's love to the fullest. In Ephesians, it talks about that we will be members for one another. One of the things that I share with my staff on a regular basis, and another favorite verse of mine, is in Ephesians 4:28. And it talks, in Ephesians 4, it talks about the unity of the church. And then it talks about us coming to know Jesus. And Jesus does something in our heart, that he replaces our heart, gives us a new heart. So it's not us, it's by grace that we have a relationship with God. And then it says to put on a new self. And why does we put on a new self? That we could love each other. And this is one of my favorites. It says that, it's such a favorite, I have to look it up. Yeah. It says, let the thief no longer steal. First of all, I want to stop there. Let the thief no longer steal. So did you know that youth crime across the country is actually gone down? And you think, you know, I'm escaping Scarborough to a nice, beautiful paradise in Peterborough. That the one place it's going up is in Peterborough, youth crime. Our staff team in Peterborough, we think that something significant is happening in Peterborough. Our churches are coming together. We're starting to get a sense of pulling the youth groups together. There's something special that's happening. But on the other side, there's this decline. So God, what are you up to? But anyways, so as I go back to this, that this thief would no longer steal, but rather let him labor doing honest work with his hands. Let's stop there. So he no longer steals, and now he's doing work with his hands, right? So this is why I'm so excited that Shelby shared this earlier today. Some people say, well, what's the difference between an agency and a mission? Like, well, why are you guys the same thing as a social agency? Well, the poster boy or poster girl of an agency, and there's lots of good agencies, the YMCA, the Boys and Girls Club, all those kind of, they're good organizations. They have Christians work for them. They're good organizations. But they leave it right there. The poster child is right there. That if we give them the education, if we give them a breakfast program, if we give them all these things, and that they could actually come from, let's say the poster boy or girl would be from an underprivileged community, then one day becomes an oral surgeon. And that would be the poster. But we believe it's beyond that, that the God part here is that what? So they would work with their own hands so that they may have something to share with anyone in need. That they begin, instead of being stealing, so taking stuff for themselves, for our own kingdoms that we may have be built up, that we have our own kingdom, that we have our own career that is for ourselves. It actually goes from there, then we actually earn from our hands, then we can give to others, that actually we can give away the things that we earn. That is a completely different idea. And as Shelby shared, how the women were raising money to pay for the items of the church, that they were giving back to the church. They were giving of themselves. Literally, these women were giving from their sacrifice, not from their surplus. It's easy to give away when we have a lot. But when we have very little, it's harder. And I believe this is where we bring glory to God, when we give out of our sacrifice. And that is our goal as an organization, that kids and young people would come to know Jesus, but they themselves would begin to give back. And only, I believe, can happen through the relationship with the local church. The church also keeps us grounded. It talks that as we are one, as we are united, that we're no longer tossed about in the sea, that we we actually are grounded. We recently interviewed a young person for a volunteer position, and they said they love Jesus, and then they started talking about all this other, like, spiritual stuff that didn't seem right. And I don't know if you ever had this feeling inside, but you're like, something's not right. And then we said, well, are you part of a local church? And the person said, no, I'm not, actually. I go to the university group, but I'm not part of a local church. They're not under the authority of a church. One thing about the church, it keeps us grounded. It keeps us moving in the same direction. Last thing is that the church is eternal. You know, I kind of hinted at that earlier. But in John, where Jesus prays, he says, John 17:24, he says, Father, I desire that they also whom you've given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you've given me, because you love me before the foundation of the world. So Jesus is talking to the Father, saying that, because you love me before the foundation of the world. Well, get this. When I'm reading in Ephesians, you read in the first part of Ephesians, Paul writes, 1:4, it says, blessed be the God of our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Even he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. That even in the, can you imagine this? Even in the moment where Jesus is being loved by God before the foundation of the world, that we're free to be the body of Christ, if we're the one to represent Jesus in the world, that actually he had you and I, he had us in mind as a church. He had this congregation in mind before the foundation of the world. Isn't that encouraging? I just want to finish with a story that you know about. Maybe if you're new to this church, you may not know this story. But I think it paints a picture of the church and how God, in many ways, is the one that's orchestrating these things. So it was probably 10 years ago, maybe 9 years ago. So Pastor Trevor was standing at the front, and he says, what does it mean to love the community? And suddenly there's a fire that's at the condo buildings out back. So the condo buildings over here, there's a fire. And so they had to, it was a day like this, it was worse actually. It was raining out. And so everybody had to leave the building on a Sunday morning. And there was a police officer that was there that was sending everyone to this church and said, you will find refuge in that church. So we opened the doors. Do you remember this? And I apologize for those, I'm reminiscing, but this is hopefully helpful and encouraging for you. So we open the doors up. We move all these chairs up, and you can tell me if I'm lying because you were here, right? So we put the tables up, and our community came in here. Now, this is why it's significant. First of all, a youth group was formed after that day with Alan. And Alan Virgin had started a youth group based out of that, because those kids came in here and something happened that suddenly he had a youth group. Secondly, we had the opportunity to minister to the families that were directly affected by the fire. There were kids and families that we had worked with at the school. And what amazes me the most, this is just for me personally, was the police officer was a member of my home church in Oshawa. You see, the greater church, Oshawa, sending people over to us, loving them. And a youth group, there's something that was started at that moment. And it had nothing to do with us. God had orchestrated that whole thing. We can be as unified as we want to. We can put the building up. We can put flyers out. We can knock on doors. But it's God that puts these things together. And that's the amazing thing about the church. That's why it's so hard to measure. So I'm hopefully you're encouraged this morning. It's so good to see friendly faces. I am encouraged. And I hope you're encouraged as well. Why don't we pray? Father, we just thank you.